The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Morning, morning, morning.
It's the boss.
I call shots like a boss.
In the gloss.
Check it out. My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops.
Welcome back. And in the break, I was just getting a digest from you about Hard Knocks is here. Kevin Zipek behind the glass, too. You might have watched Hard Knocks. I did not. The amazing thing is I'm the biggest Cowboys fan in the building.
I can't believe you didn't watch it. This is blasphemy.
And I did not watch them. Did you see them, Kevin? Did you watch Hard Knocks this year?
I have to be honest with you. I did not watch Hard Knocks this year. I missed the first episode, and then everybody told me that it was boring, so I didn't bother.
Well, Kevin, I was just telling the boss right here. I said, the first episode, if I wasn't dedicated, I would be done. It was boring. And there's way too many storylines in Dallas for it to be boring. But, I mean, the woman in the room has to carry you two, for goodness sakes. I stuck with it, watched the whole thing, absolutely loved it. And I have to say, I have not been a Zeke Elliott fan. Anyone who listens to this program knows. I mean, the guys, he worked his tail off. He looks great. I loved how he brought on these undrafted rookies that are trying to make the team, how he's encouraging on the sidelines, in the games. I'm a big fan of Zeke's. No doubt that Dak's leadership was on full display. Just his command of the locker room as a peer, not as I'm Dak, I'm the best-selling jersey on the team, I'm the this and that. I mean, he really gets the locker room to respond to him. But, you know, since I watched it, I do have a new boyfriend, Aiden Diggs, Trayvon Diggs' son.
Oh, he stole the show, didn't he?
Oh! Like, my heart is with Aiden. He is polite. He is precious. He's enthusiastic. Trayvon is an outstanding dad because this kid, my heart is done. Like, he's my crush. He is my man. He is my everything. He is precious. And he's so encouraging. And he just says the sweetest thing. He talks like a 25-year-old. It is so worth it. You have got to see. You too.
All right.
You need to watch.
Go back. We always follow your advice.
Yeah.
All the men in the building do. We'll go back and watch Hard Knocks. And coming from a non-Cowboys fan or an emerging Cowboys fan, to enjoy Hard Knocks, that's a good sign for the Cowboys
this
season.
Mike McCarthy. Love that guy, too. It was great. It was great.
All right, when we come back, we're going to shift gears to college football. We're going to look at the big losses this weekend for Ohio State and USC and University of Texas. All that when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
The Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
All right, some of the top teams in college played patsies. I mean, Oklahoma, Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, they all coasted. But there were some games and some surprising games to me. I did not see UT getting beaten up and pushed around by Arkansas. I just did not envision that until I saw it. I mean, I really didn't think Arkansas was going to be able to do what they did, but they manhandled the Longhorns. What has happened to the Longhorns? It's a storied franchise. They brought in a new coach, Sarkisian. He's a mastermind. He's going to change everything around, right?
There's the problem. You just said exactly what the University of Texas mantra is. They brought in a mastermind.
Right.
Sarkisian is not a mastermind. He's a decent coach. He was decent at Washington, barely had a 500 record.
Yep.
Then he got fired at USC, you know, a very, very public firing that was ugly. And then he gets, you know, he goes to Second Chance U at Alabama as the OC when Lane Kiffin gets let go 3 days before the national championship game.
Let me pause. Saban rehabbed Kiffin,
exactly.
And he rehabbed Sarkisian. Got their careers back on track, right?
He gets their careers back on track, but he doesn't. It's not rehab.
No.
Because it's the same Steve Sarkisian. You cannot tell me that he won that national championship game for Alabama. No way. Nick Saban has got an assembly line.
Yes.
It is well oiled. It is well filled. And when someone goes down, even like one of their, you know, left tackle, what it doesn't matter. It's next man up. They have a depth chart that's crazy town.
Well, now this year it's going to be Bill O'Brien who resurrects his career, right?
I'm sorry, I have to laugh. I mean, that is hilarious.
The chin? Bill O'Brien? We'll see. Okay.
Yeah, the OC of all OCs.
So Sarkisian gets his career back on track.
Yes. He
seemingly.
Seemingly. I mean, then anyway, we won't go into his whole, but he hasn't impressed me at any level.
Okay.
So why in the world is the University of Texas hiring Steve Sarkisian, who does not have a record that is much above average at all?
Well, that's so interesting because, of course, the fandom was frothy about this guy.
Totally.
I mean, they went Charlie Strong. He was going to be the one. No. Tom Herman. He's the one. No. Now, well, last week it was Sarkisian. They're back. They're not back.
This is how I knew they were going to fall to Arkansas. I had no doubt because Arkansas under Sam Pittman is a team that is on the up and up. I mean, what Pittman is doing with that program is incredible. And he would have been a coach of the year candidate for me last year. Love that guy and what he's doing. They are hungry. They see the progress and they're not near it yet. UT is exactly the opposite. They think so highly of themselves because they have had a storied program for so long until 2015. Well, even before that, long before that, since the Mack Brown era. And they still think, though, that they can play at that level. And while they did beat the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana 38-18 in week one, that is an FCS program. It's a good one, yes.
Yep.
But it's FCS, and it was being played in Austin. And just all the hype after it, I was like, they're going down next week against Arkansas. This is false hype. They did what they had to do against an FCS team. And they did not go in hungry, and Arkansas did. And
it just struck me that Arkansas dominated the line of scrimmage.
Dominated it.
They ran the ball for 333 yards. 300 yards rushing. I mean, that's an impressive total. AJ Green was outstanding in the game. I just was really surprised that Texas didn't show up any better. And then Hudson Card, who got acclaim coming into the season, has now been humbled and, I guess, benched. But he had a quarterback rating of 15. A 15 quarterback rating. Oh. Devastating, devastating.
The
game
only
for
one
him.
Close was Aaron Rodgers yesterday. So there we go. But yeah, so now they're going to turn to Casey Thompson at quarterback this next week. And Sarkisian has said that was named today. And Sark says they're both going to play. But, you know, we want to see what Casey Thompson looks like. And we talked to Pat Forte, and he thought, yeah, you got to do it. You got these two guys. Figure it out.
Texas Aggies, they win a squeaker over Colorado. Our colleague here in the building went to Colorado to watch that game firsthand, and he was holding his breath most of the game. Colorado was leading 7-3 until late. And, of course, the Aggies lost their starting freshman quarterback, Haynes King, early. He left with a leg injury, and the Aggies could not move the ball until very, very late, when Calzada hit his receiver in the back of the end zone, and the Aggies finally got the lead. But that was a real squeaker for an Aggies team there are high expectations for that Aggies team.
Because they play in the toughest division, the SEC West. And, the Aggies just extended Jimbo Fisher yet again. He's getting like $120 million now with this extension that he had after his new deal.
Right.
So that is serious pressure, and they went into the season with very high expectations. But when you don't have that situation under center, and they did have it figured out, but with Haynes King, and they even looked a little shaky in week one. It took them a while to get going. I think the expectations are too high for the Aggies. I think they are on the up and up. I think Jimbo Fisher is the right coach. They're ahead of themselves right now, and they're playing in a brutal division.
Well, going back to the Longhorns and thinking about how they've performed really over the last 10 years.
Oh, my gosh.
It is a little bit hubris that they have joined forces 100%. With Oklahoma to jump into the SEC. I mean, the Longhorns have struggled just to keep their head above water in the Big 12. What's their prognosis for them in the SEC. I mean, I just don't know
how
they're
going to get hammered.
They're going to get hammered. I mean, look what Arkansas did to them. Arkansas just beat them up physically. There was a different attitude on the field. That's an SEC team.
Physicality. Exactly.
A physicality.
Because what the SEC has is the closest thing to NFL defenses. And even the quote, less, I can't even say lesser teams of the SEC, but the non-Alabamas, the non-Georgias in the SEC, we're talking the Mississippi States, Ole Miss, who's on the up and up, Auburn, these are incredible teams. And while they're not at the top, because this is such an incredibly hard division, at least they haven't been the past couple of years, when Texas and Oklahoma, they take their hubris into this conference, it is going to be a wake-up call. And, you know, the whole reason they're going, is it the almighty dollar. I mean, that's the bottom line, which is sad. But they're going to, you know, that's what they're doing.
Well, Oklahoma, of course, yesterday played Western Carolina University. So they had their big win, 76-0.
Yes, but let's talk about what they did against Tulane week one.
And the rub always with Oklahoma, all offense, no defense. But they almost lost to Tulane in the opening game.
I mean, the green wave of Tulane. I mean, they're not an FBS school. And they went into Tulane, came to them, and almost lost this thing. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, 40-35, the final. Again, Oklahoma, like they did last year early in the season, they got out to a big lead, and they seemed to relax and pack it in. And then Tulane came roaring back and almost pulled that win out late. But Oklahoma's schedule is pretty weak. I mean, they're going to play a lot of the Big 12 teams. They're going to play Nebraska next week. So Oklahoma should be able to win out here through the Big 12. Texas will be the big matchup because of that great rivalry. But, yes, you'll probably be a one loss or an undefeated Oklahoma team coming out of the Big 12 if you want to project this season. But to win, well, to win out or to be one loss team in the Big 12 for Oklahoma versus going to the SEC and perhaps losing 3 to 4 games in the course of a year, I don't really know how they advance their cause. I guess the money in the SEC is just that good.
Well, and you're being very kind to Oklahoma because, you know, Spencer Rattler, what I saw week one against Tulane, who hung 35 points on Oklahoma. And Spencer Rattler had numerous interceptions. One got overturned with a penalty. Three interceptions against Tulane? Credit Tulane. I mean, they did a great job. But the Big 12 should not have problems with the green wave of Tulane. And they did.
Yeah, I think he's going to get back on track. We'll see. He had a pretty good season after the first three games last year. I don't know what it was. He really started poorly, and then he got on track, and he got some consideration for the Heisman last year. And coming into the season, the hype was big.
Yeah, the hype was huge.
He struggled against Tulane. Easy street last week. We'll see. Most of the schedule for them is pretty straightforward, so I mean,
it's early. I mean, we're doing a lot, you know, microwave analysis.
We're trying to figure out what's going to happen by the end of the year, too. But anyway, we'll see. But I do think Spencer Rattler and the Oklahoma Sooners can do very well in that Big 12 and are obviously going to win that Big 12. I just can't see anybody challenging them at this point, but it's a little early.
I don't know. Kansas State looked good against Stanford.
Well, there you go.
See what I'm saying? It's a little crazy early on. So.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with the legend, Howard Balzer. He's a Hall of Fame voter, one of the all-time sages covering the NFL. We're going to ask him which team in week one had the best showing. And I think I know who he will say.
I have a feeling,
the best
too.
Showing of week one from Howard Balzer when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to The Boss
and The Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now is one of our favorites. It is Howard Balzer. He covers the Cardinals for Sports Illustrated. Howard, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
It's great to be with you. Great to be with you on this Monday as we'll be doing this throughout the season. So looking forward to it.
I know. Welcome in. We love having you as a regular, Howard.
Great to be regular.
I'm going to be
for a variety of reasons, which we won't get into.
I'm glad that Howard is regular. That's a good thing to document here tonight. So listen, I'm going to throw you a softball question. What team yesterday looked better than any other team this week one of the NFL season?
I heard you tease that, and I was already connected. So I was able to give it some thought, not only who I'm going to pick, but who I think you think I'm going to pick.
Well, yes. I'll tell you that that you're going to pick your beloved Cardinals.
That's what I figure you're thinking I'm going to do. And that was an incredibly impressive performance by the Cardinals, going into Tennessee and getting the play they did from Kyler Murray and Chandler Jones especially. I mean, that was just insane what Chandler Jones did. And, you know, the one thing about it, everyone talks about the 5 sacks, 2 strip sacks and all that. What they also overlook is that he had 4 tackles for loss in the running game.
Amazing.
And that's not talked about a lot in the, quote, NFL stats, but the first play of the game where the Cardinals knew, hey, we've got to stop Derrick Henry. First play of the game, they hand it to Derrick Henry, and Chandler Jones drops him for a 3-yard loss. And it kind of set the tone, I thought, for the entire afternoon for the Cardinals. And at halftime, they led 24-6, and Henry had 8 yards on 9 carries. So that one is right there. It's almost like I think it's a 1 and a 1A between them and the Saints.
Yes.
Because the Saints, now granted, I mean, the Cardinals went on the road, the Saints were on the road, but in effect, the Packers were on the road, but the Saints were in effect on the road also because of Hurricane Ida. So they're playing in Jacksonville, but the Packers just seemed they just weren't ready to play going against maybe two of the best units in the NFL. They're certainly in the top five, the Saints offensive line and the Saints defensive line. But to see Jameis Winston, that's been the whole discussion of the summer. Will Jameis Winston get the starting job? And I thought he would. And then can Sean Payton coach out of him the penchant for turnovers? And, I mean, the guy, heck, that last year in Tampa, he had 30 for 30. He had a 30-30 in both touchdowns and interceptions and passed for over 5,000 yards. And so he only passes 20 times, 14 completions, 5 touchdowns, and didn't fumble. And what was interesting is that after the game, when he was asked, what was the play that stands out to you the most? You think he's going to choose one of the 5 touchdowns. No. He picked a play, somewhat meaningless play, but either second or third quarter, where he was tempted to take a shot at a receiver who was covered and instead threw it out of bounds, which he didn't do a whole lot of in the past, and that's where he would get himself in trouble. So that was pretty impressive what he did. So those two games jump out at me because there were other impressive wins, no question, but the way both those teams, the Cardinals and the Saints, dominated their game. I mean, heck, the Saints won by 35 and the Cardinals won by 25. And those were against two very good teams that some pick to go to the Super Bowl.
Howard, let me ask you, with Jameis Winston's performance yesterday, I think it has to do with 3 factors. I mean, you mentioned Sean Payton, who is a genius. He really is, and he's done an incredible job in New Orleans, as we've seen. But I look at it as a combination of, 1, humility. I mean, Winston's been humbled, going from the starter at Tampa Bay to being a backup in New Orleans, and he's had to be patient with that. You know, 2, he's had a chance to mature, because he's really smart. But I think he seems like he's been a really young guy. And 3, that LASIK surgery. So I don't know. What do you think? Any of that true, or am I just pie in the sky?
No, I don't think you're pie in the sky at all. And everything, you know, it's like anything in life. Whatever happens, and in sports where a team wins, a team loses, and we like to jump on one thing why.
Right.
Well, there's never one thing.
Right.
It's usually a combination of things. So I'm sure all those things you mentioned contributed to it. But I do think the first one you said with the humility is he realizes this might be his last chance to be a starter. I mean, here you are, you're a first overall pick in the draft. You go to Tampa. You had some pretty decent years there. And prior to that 30-plus interception season that he had. He had interceptions, but not like that. But you figure you're protected. Hey, I'm the first-round pick. I'm first overall. I'll always have a chance to work it out. But then he didn't, and he has to go be a backup for a year, wins the job. And so, like I said, he realizes that if this doesn't work out, he might be a journeyman backup for the rest of his career, maybe get shots here and there to play, but not being the starter. He's got an opportunity with one of the great coaches in football, obviously. And right now, in the receiving core, not a great receiving core around him. They don't have Michael Thomas yet. They hope to have him back sometime after week six. But it's not a great core that they have, but he just does what he has to do within that offense and, of course, has Alvin Kamara. So he's just play smart. That's what coaches always say to quarterbacks. Just play smart.
Yeah.
Live for another down. Live for, you know, the next play, the next game, whatever it is. And then he's realizing it now for those reasons you mentioned, Carla. And we'll see. You know, it's always overreaction Monday in the NFL, and never more so than in week one. And so it is just one game. But what we saw from that certainly gives hope that, hey, it doesn't mean he's going to go through the whole season without an interception, but just the ones that kill his team in the fourth quarter when you're trying to win a game and all of a sudden you just make a bad decision. That's what he has to get himself out of, and we saw a lot of that yesterday.
Well, on the other side of that, Howard, like in our microwave analysis that will continue after week one, what the heck happened to Green Bay? I mean,
yeah.
Honestly, I mean, help us understand what went on there.
And with Aaron Rodgers especially.
Exactly. No, exactly. And, of course, everyone has the armchair quarterbacking today and the amateur psychology that, well, it was what happened in the offseason. His mind really isn't into it. And although he was thinking of retirement, and so everyone has to come up with a reason. And who knows? Some of that might have contributed. But they obviously did not play the – and here's what I wonder. No one's even talking about. Davante Adams, who is their best – might be their – aside from Rodgers, their best player. Well, he went through a whole contract thing where he was hoping to get a new deal and didn't. So who knows if that's a little bit on his mind. Everyone said, well, you got to put that stuff out of your mind. But sometimes that's not an easy thing to do. Interestingly, you know, every player is different. Chandler Jones wanted a contract extension. So what did he do? He just went out there and said, okay, I'm going to show him. And he certainly did. But a defensive player sometimes has a little more control over a situation than a receiver. I mean, the receiver, someone still has to throw him the ball. And Aaron Rodgers wasn't doing that very well. So bottom line is, let's see what happens next. I mean, they did, you know, all teams lose, often lose big during a season. I mean, they lost to Tampa last year. I think it was 38-10. Or
yeah,
something like
bad.
That. And that was a 13-3 team. Now, it's not noticed as much when it's in week six or week seven or whenever it is. Opening week, all of a sudden, all the fire alarms go off and the red flags go up. So everyone's watching now. And so they need to rebound from this. And he needs to show that, hey, yes, my mind is into it. Don't amateur psychology me. We're still going to play good football. So we'll see what happens moving forward.
Well, and in fairness, he is the reigning MVP, and you expect a lot more than 3 points to be hung on the board from him.
No question. No question about it. I mean, and he's a guy who hardly ever throws interceptions, and he just had some bad ones in that game yesterday. I think in the last 3 years combined, he has 11 interceptions.
He had five last season and two yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. So that's you know, that's not Aaron Rodgers. So I don't know. Maybe he was thinking of the final Jeopardy answer, you know, too soon. I don't know. But who knows what was on his mind yesterday. It didn't seem to be football, but the whole team was a party to it.
Howard, we've got about 1 minute. I want to ask you, should alarm bells be going off with the Giants offense? They only put up 13 points yesterday. Daniel Jones was not that effective. What do we conclude about the Giants offense?
They're a work in progress. I mean, they're getting Saquon Barkley back. I look at that receiving core, and that's a work in progress too. They were going against a very good defense, and I picked Denver as one of my surprise teams this year. Not necessarily to make the playoffs, but perhaps be in competition for it with that defense they have. They can get consistent quarterbacking out of Teddy Bridgewater. with, and he has some pretty good players around him, this Broncos team could surprise some people. So Giants are going up against that good defense. So you make a good point. They've got to show that they can be a lot better on offense than they were yesterday.
Nobody covers the NFL like Howard Balzer. Howard, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Take care. Talk to you next week.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and this is a big night. It's Monday Night Football tonight.
It is big.
And we've got a man on the ground, Mark Myers, who is at the stadium in Vegas. Joining us now is Mark Myers. Mark, how is the environment there? This is the first time that fans have been able to show up at what I call Darth Vader Stadium. What does it feel like there?
Yeah, well, it's the 52nd season of Monday Night Football getting underway here in just a short while from now. And I'll tell you, I'm old enough to remember the very first Monday Night Football game, Jets and Browns, back in 1970. Tonight it's the Ravens and the Raiders in this magnificent Allegiant Stadium. There's going to be 65,000 fans here on hand for this opening day contest. Baltimore coming off an 11-5 season. The Raiders were 8-8 one year ago. But I'll tell you, the Ravens already in a whole heap of turmoil. They lost their top two running backs to season-ending injuries, and the season hasn't even started. J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards both out for the year. They just picked up Le'Veon Bell, and he'll be handling the running back duties. Now, also, to make matters worse, one of the game's top cornerbacks, Marcus Peters of the Ravens, also out for the year. He, too, with a serious knee injury. Now, Raiders, on their side of the football, the player to watch, tight end Darren Waller, playing by the Raiders off Baltimore's practice squad in 2018. How that happened, how the Ravens let him go, we'll never know that. But he has turned into a bona fide star. Waller coming off back-to-back 1,000-yard receiving seasons, and he's become Derek Carr's favorite target. The teams are right now warming up out on the field. We're going to get this game going in about 30 minutes from now. We'll kick it off here at Allegiant Stadium. Monday Night Football, Raiders and the Ravens. Now back to you.
Thank you so much, Mark. Great to have you. Appreciate the insights. All right, Carla, this is your team.
Oh, I wish I was in that stadium, the Death Star.
You should be there in all your black and silver dressed up.
I know, my face paint, everything.
You feel it tonight, don't you?
I am feeling it. And Derek Carr is 4-2 on Monday Night Football. And the Ravens are 10-3. In the opener under John Harbaugh.
Here's why I like your Raiders. I think there's going to be a lot of energy at home. It's the first time that fans have come in and pack that stadium. I mean, think of the environment there. Those Raider fans now, they're somewhat transplant Raider fans, right? I mean, this is the Vegas community who's going to turn out. It's not that same old Oakland crowd.
Raider fans travel.
You think?
Mexico City, Las Vegas, it doesn't matter. Oakland moves.
All right.
The nation moves with their team.
We will look for them.
And they'll get some new ones along the way, of course, in Las Vegas.
And I'm going to tell you that this is not a conventional opinion, but I think that the Raiders have the better quarterback on the field. I think I would rather have Derek Carr start for my team than Lamar Jackson. I think Carr is a more complete passer, a more complete quarterback. Obviously, he can't tear down the field for 40 yards like Jackson. But I think Derek Carr has been underrated throughout his career, and I think he has a great potential to do very well, particularly with a weapon like Darren Waller.
Thank you for saying that, David, because I do think everyone talks about underrated quarterbacks. Oh, Baker Mayfield. Well, his face is on the TV every time I look at a commercial. He is not underrated.
Yeah.
Derek Carr is, because last year he passed for over 4,000 yards. He had 27 touchdowns to 9 interceptions. The guy has been incredible, and he doesn't get the love. And when you look at the Raiders last season, they averaged on offense 27 points per game. I'm really happy if I'm John Gruden at 27 points per game.
Yep.
Here's what I'm not happy about. Their defense gave up an average of 30 points per game. But they've brought in defensive coordinator Gus Bradley. This is his first year. He was the coordinator who shut down Lamar Unvaccine Jackson when he was calling plays for the Chargers 3 years ago.
Excuse me? Lamar Unvaccine Jackson?
Lamar Novaccine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Or Unvaccine. You can get. Sure. You can choose whichever you like. But Gus Bradley was the DC when he called play for the play calling on the defensive side for the Chargers 3 years ago when he shut down Lamar Novaxson in the playoffs. So you've got him now as the Raiders DC calling plays for tonight. And Jackson's the only QB in NFL history. Gosh darn, this is so hard to have back-to-back 1,000 rushing seasons. But Gus Bradley has done this before. He knows what's up against him. They've really, through the draft, through offseason pickups, which has not been super prolific for Las Vegas, but they have concentrated on the defensive side of the ball. So I hope they have the personnel that can put Gus Bradley's system in place.
Well, and as you noted, okay, they love to run the ball with Lamar Jackson, but much of that RPO is built off a read that happens with a threat of Jackson handing the ball off to a running back. But the Ravens now are bereft of the running back position due to injuries. Oh. J.K. Dobbins was a big loss for them.
Huge.
Mark Ingram's no longer there. He's over with the Texans. I mean, they don't have – I mean, Le'Veon Bell's not going to give them much tonight. So it's a real struggle, and that will limit what Jackson can do running the ball. You have to have the threat both ways, the running back
threat.
And then the quarterback, the dual threat, and that they don't have that tonight.
You know, let's look at this injury situation here with Baltimore, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, you had J.K. Dobbins go down, which is devastating. In the same practice on consecutive plays, you had Gus Edwards and Justice Hill go down. I mean, back-to-back plays.
Yep.
And then you got Marcus Peters. I mean, this is...
And Peters, one of the top corners in the league.
Yes, if not the top corner. If I'm Baltimore, heads are rolling. Is it field maintenance? Is it the strength and conditioning crew? This is not a coincidence. This is four major injuries. These are ACLs. One after the other. Something is going on there. And I don't know, if I'm in charge of Baltimore, I'm finding out what the heck is going on. They did the right thing. They called off practice, but they are missing four key players on that team. And my mind is going to, who's messing this up? Is it the field people? I mean, am I crazy or what do you think? I mean, do you think it's coincidence?
I think sometimes it's just some random bad outcome. I haven't seen an explanation that is other than that. I mean, I feel bad for the Ravens. You never like to see that. I mean, you remember a year ago about this time, the 49ers get hit with before the season started, they were hit with some awful injuries. The Cowboys were too. There were several teams that just had the bug. It was just a bad rash of injuries that went through. And sometimes it's just hard to explain, but boy, the Ravens, it is hard to overcome that kind of loss of talent and what it does to an offense. I mean, that offense is very dependent upon those running backs.
Yes, it is.
And, of course, you can't replace Marcus Peters. He is an outstanding corner on the defensive front.
Oh, my gosh.
So we will see what that means tonight. But when you stack up the home field advantage and the excellence of Derek Carr and the Ravens injuries, I think it's your Raiders who come away with the win tonight.
Well, and you know, Darren Waller's coming out party last year, as you know, I mean, he's probably one of the top tight ends in the league for sure. And tonight, Max Crosby, the explosive defensive end for Las Vegas, is celebrating 18 months of sobriety. And believe me, he is fired up about it. So I hope the team rallies around him. I think it's pretty exciting.
Well, he's the best player on a defense that really needs to step up.
Yes, it does.
And the Raiders have done a lot to try to upgrade their defense this year. They drafted several guys from the second round on back, picked up Morig, the safety, and he's a great addition to that secondary. But they really need to upgrade the talent there, and it looks like they've committed to doing so. Now, Richie Incognito will not play tonight on the offensive line.
That's right.
So they've got to figure out how to address that. They've got some offensive line woes. They lost some guys off in the offseason, and so they'll have to figure out if they've got the right replacements for tonight.
Yep. Trent Brown gone. So we'll see. We'll see. But I'm excited.
It is time.
Got the makings of a good one.
I know where you'll be tonight, right?
You know exactly where I'll be. So I'm going to run home when we sign off at 7.
Well, it will be an exciting one tonight in Vegas. Love that. Let's go at a couple of other NFL stories before we conclude. I want to go back to the reunion game of sorts. Sam Darnold facing his former team, the Jets.
In Zach Wilson.
And it was so interesting. He said before the game when he was listening to the national anthem, looking across the field and seeing all of his old teammates there, it really was an odd sensation. And then to go out and play his old teammates, but he played well enough, the Panthers, with a victory over Zach Wilson and the Jets. And credit Sam Darnold for remaining calm and poised. He was the better quarterback on the field for at least yesterday's game.
No, he really wasn't. I'm sure when he saw Zach Wilson sacked six times, he said, oh, yeah, I don't miss those guys as much anymore.
Right.
You know, he did do better. He's got a better supporting cast. But, you know, I mean, the Jets cannot catch a break, and they lost left tackle Mekhi Becton. He's going to miss 4 to 5 weeks with a dislocated kneecap and an MCL sprain. He's going to have undergo arthroscopic surgery. In fact, knee surgery. He may have even had it today, actually. You know, he had some good long balls, but he did hold on to the ball too many times. I mean, Zach Wilson is a rookie. He looked like a rookie. And, you know, Darnold definitely got the better of them at a 19-14 win for Carolina, which was important because of that Carolina defense, honestly.
Yeah, give a lot of credit to them. And Zach Wilson showed just enough to get us all excited. But, yes, it's a tough day for a rookie, tough day for Trevor Lawrence. Tough day to be a rookie. Quarterbacks don't win in this league.
No.
In fact, the last rookie to win in his rookie debut on the road was Derek Carr. And that infamous win over the Cowboys when the Texans defeated them. Not Derek Carr, sorry, David Carr. All right, let's go back to one other topic, now that we're mentioning the Carr family, is the Texans and their big win over the Jaguars. We didn't get a chance to discuss it. We're sitting here in Houston, Texas, and the mantra leading up to the game was that the Texans roster looks more like an expansion team
yes.
than a Super Bowl team. It's way, way, way into the bad end of the spectrum, and yet they came out and won. They ran the ball. Tyrod Taylor managed the game well. Their defense got some turnovers. Is it time to think the Texans have been underrated and they're on their way?
No. It's time to pump the brakes is what I say. I mean, listen, I did not expect this out of the Texans week one, but let's look who's on the other side of the ball. That is the Jacksonville Jaguars that have a rookie coach, a rookie quarterback, a porous offensive line that's trying to get better. You know, there's just not a lot going right in Jacksonville. So while the Texans did what they need to, and let me tell you, couldn't be happier for anybody more than Tyrod Taylor. I mean, honestly, that guy has had the worst luck. 11-year NFL vet, and the guy keeps losing his job. Getting his lung punctured by a doctor and losing a starting job to Justin Herbert. I mean, just crazy things that he's endured.
Yeah.
I'm really happy for him. His numbers were beautiful yesterday. He was helped by a rookie quarterback in Trevor Lawrence who was pressured, who had 3 touchdowns and 3 interceptions on the day. He started out Jameis Winston-like, and, you know, he's got to settle down a little bit, but he did throw for 332 yards, and that should worry the Texans defense just a bit because this is probably the lowest competition they're going to see all season.
I think if we're going to overreact to the Jaguars' performance, it would be a negative statement about Urban Meyer. I mean, that team had 11 penalties. They had 3 turnovers. There were defensive miscommunications. It did not show well for Urban Meyer. Now, he's got a steep learning curve. He's got a lot of ground to cover. This is his first time in the NFL, but this was not a good debut for him.
It was not. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, he does have a steep learning curve, and I think he is arrogant enough that he doesn't know how steep it is. He thinks he's had so much success at the college level in several different programs, but you look at the mistakes that he's made in the public eye. His first hire was a racist strength and conditioning coach. Oops, the only reason he ended up letting him go, he got backlash from his locker room.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? You can't do this in the NFL. Then he brings in Tim Tebow to try out for a position that Tim Tebow has never played. In the age of his 30s, that he hasn't been on a football field in years because he's been playing baseball. Then he admitted to releasing a player because of a vaccination status, which, as I mentioned earlier with Bill Belichick, I think was a factor with Cam Newton. But you can't say that, Urban. There's an NFLPA that says, you cannot do that.
Yep.
So I think he's got a really steep learning curve. I don't know that he is going – thinks too highly of himself. I hope he's able to learn from these mistakes.
One thing I'll say about Trevor Lawrence on the way out the door here, in his entire life, middle school, high school football, college football, Trevor Lawrence has never lost a game in the regular season. And he did yesterday. It was his first loss ever in his whole life. What a great statement about him. An amazing thing. Of course, the only losses he had in college were in the college playoffs. Just an incredible run. But unfortunately, it was broken yesterday. And, of course, in the NFL, you're going to lose at least a handful of games every year. That's just the nature of the beast.
Well, and the nature of the beast is that when you are awarded the number one pick, there is a reason.
Right.
You're not a super winning team, a Super Bowl winning team that's come back and just happened to get the number one. So you're a team in turmoil.
All right, when we come back, we'll close out the show with our picks at tonight's big game, Monday Night Football looming. It's the Ravens and the Raiders. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
All right, this is the moment we've been waiting for. Kevin, you got to get ready for this too. Carla, we got to make our picks. Ravens are favored by 3.5, though they're on the road in Vegas. Carla, your pick with points. How do you consider that?
Oh, gosh. Did you have to
You're going to go Raiders anyway, aren't you?
I'm going Raiders anyway. I think you'll get the points.
So you're in a good spot.
I think the momentum of Allegiant Stadium, I don't want the Ravens injuries to play a factor, but they probably will. But I'm going with the momentum at the Death Star. I say Raiders by 3.
All right, you heard it from Carla. What do you got, Kevin?
Well, I don't want us to get off on the wrong foot here, Carla, but...
Okay,
you are
Kevin.
On shaky ground. Yeah, you have no idea what you're
like
doing
you.
Here.
I want honesty.
This could be my first and last show here with you guys. I picked the Ravens to go to the Super Bowl, so I have to stick with them, and I'm going to pick them tonight.
And you're going to pick them?
I respect that.
But you're not afraid of these injuries, I guess.
No, I feel like running back is one of the most replaceable positions on the field, and I feel like Lamar Jackson himself can provide a lot of the running game as well. So that doesn't deter me.
Fair enough. All right, I think I'm going to take the Raiders and grab the points. At home with 3.5 points against a beat-up Ravens team, I feel good about the Raiders. Kevin, we'll be exchanging dollars when we get off the air here, and we look forward to winning that one.
And I still like you, Kevin. It's all good.
She has a long memory, though, Kevin. Thank you so much for joining us. Monday Night Football up shortly, and you've been listening to the Boston Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.